right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday, so that means Sandy Williams is here. Sandy, let me ask you about another issue that is going to be a major problem for our nation in the coming years, and that's the fact that less and less students are going to college to become teachers. We've vilified teachers so horribly in this country that I talk with a lot of younger people and mention to them, hey, why don't you go to school and become a teacher? And they laugh at me because they've heard and they know that we vilified teachers in.
Well, we do more than vilify. One of my sons is a teacher, and we don't pay them enough.
No, that's right.
So if your incentive for getting a job is to get adequately compensated, that's probably not going to happen. You're going to be undercompensated for the amount of work you do. People are vilified because they work 9 months a year, but they work very hard 9 months a year. And when someone works 9 months a year, what do you expect them to do in the off 3 months? I mean, you're essentially putting them in a position where it's very hard to.
Yeah, they don't get paid during those 3 months.
Well, it's hard to get employed additionally for those 3 months. So whatever you get paid for the 9 months is pretty much what you'll make for the year as a teacher. And as a in your professional life, at least, and then the task of teaching has become ever more difficult. The level of involvement,
scrutiny.
I mean, you look at what's happening politically now with school boards becoming assaulted by political processes,
right.
And it's all about then mandating what can be taught in the classroom and policing what's taught in the classroom, what's said by the teachers. The life of a teacher is far more difficult today than it was in 1965, and the level of respect that is accorded that teacher is far less, and their life is far, far more difficult. So, you know, we will have a shortage of teachers until we start treating our teachers in a manner that gives them the respect and allows them to live in the society in which they're teaching in a manner that's comfortable.
You know, Sandy, here your son is. He could probably do many other things, but teachers and educators are educators because they have a love for that, right?
Well, but
a passion for that.
But we shouldn't ask them to sacrifice so very much as we do. You know, you're right. Teachers have always been people who are committed to what they're doing, like ministers and other people with a calling. But lots of people become lawyers because they love being lawyers. We don't ask them to take a pay cut because they like what they're doing. We should be pleased, and we should hope that everybody in America is doing a job that they love, and we should not require that they take a cut in income by commensurate with how much they love it. You know, we shouldn't go around and say, how much do you love your job?
you know,
we're going to ask you to take a pay cut if you like it too much.
You know, Sandy, part of the attack and assault on especially public school teachers, they're the ones who are catching, you know, most of the hell because, you know, they're unionized. And so the little resources that they do get, they collectively, the union is there to protect them. And if it wasn't for the union, they'd be making even far less than what they're making now. And so you've got an entity that looks at them and says, well, but the kids aren't doing as well as they should. And so we're going to point the finger at you educators because that's the reason that kids are failing is you guys aren't doing as good a job as an educator.
Well, I think, however, that what they found is that how well students do in schools is almost directly commensurate with the average income of the household sending the kids to that school. And so, you know, kids who are not suffering poverty do quite well in public schools and have quite good outcomes. And people who live in poverty who go to public schools have less success. Well, duh.
It does.
You know, how do we connect these dots? You know, and the schools are there to try and help them. You know, schools where public schooling is set up to try and give everyone an equal birthright. But the fact is that circumstances have an impact. What I was talking about before the break was that the circumstance of birth has a great deal of impact on the opportunities. One of those is on the impact of early learning and early education and education generally, because everyone knows that while a great deal is learned at school, the motivating factor for how much get learned at school has a lot to do with how much motivation there is from the family. And that's a difference that has to do with birthright.
You know, Sandy, I know that because Joe Biden is talking about these charters and so it's really gotten people angry and fired up because Joe Biden is basically saying that, you know, the public school still, that's the heart of our nation and education. And you can say what you want to say about it. That's where the majority of the children are going. And it's still the future of our nation. It's not the private school. The voucher school can never be the future of our nation and education of the masses of our children, because the masses of the children are still in the public school system. So, but you see the pushback, and many of those private schools and others are saying, well, and the people who support them, especially politically, well, if the children are going to be failing, then you know, and many of these private schools, they're failing too, but they'll say, well, it's cheaper to do this through these choice and charter schools because it doesn't cost us as much, because those teachers aren't getting the same pay that the public school teachers are getting, because the public school teachers have unions. And that makes sure that they're going to not be really taken advantage of, like many of these teachers are profit-driven schools.
I think, to be honest with you, that this focus on what kind of school is served up to people who live in poverty is a deflection from dealing with the poverty itself. And the fact is that schools that are dealing with students who come out of poverty have a difficult job, and they have a difficult job whether they're a private school or a public school.
Right.
And focusing on that as being the causal problem that's causing poor performance coming out of the schools is ignoring the fact that everyone understands and knows, in fact, that what is causing the problem is poverty. And what society needs to deal with first and foremost is poverty. And the school solution will follow relatively easily after we solve the poverty issue. Poverty is a problem that will never get solved in its entirety, but we need to take it on head on, particularly as it exists in our cities. And because public schools and the ones that are having problems in terms of the outcomes of their students are almost uniformly located within cities and urban areas. And so what we need to deal with is the social problems that relate to those school problems, and the school problems will be much easier to solve. Whether it's solved by a voucher school or a public school is really a secondary issue to whether we address head-on the poverty issue that is the underlying cause.
But Sandy, that's, if you really look at all of that, that's an easy deduction to make, that if kids, you know, don't eat right, live in war zones, you know, are poor and struggle on a daily basis and don't get, you know, an opportunity to have access to broadband and other things, that long term is not going to be a recipe for success. And yet in this country, that seems easy enough to understand. But how do we make it happen?
Well, see, I think blaming the schools for the outcome is a little bit like blaming the people for being unemployed or being unsuccessful and being homeless.
Sandy, hang on. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.